Take your Bible and I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 13. We've been talking about the subject of relationships. And if my numbers are right, we're on lesson number 29 tonight. Lesson number 29, Proverbs chapter 14. I want you to find verse number 34. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34. I think I'll have you stand. We're only going to read one verse right now, but if you'll stand with me, we've been talking about relationships now for many, many weeks. Last week, I think if I have proper recall, we talked about your relationship with the scorners of life. Going a totally different direction tonight. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about your relationship with America. Your relationship with America. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34, the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Look back at me, if you will, for just a second. It tells us that righteousness exalts a nation. Then it tells us that sin is a reproach to any people. When it says any people there, it's virtually referring again to a nation. Though I'm not going to reword the Bible, in essence, it's saying doing right is good for a nation, doing wrong is bad for the same nation. And now let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Very simple thought, a simple truth. Some parts that we have visited before. Help us to be better in our relationships because of the time we spent together these Wednesday nights. Holy Spirit of God, take the simple truth tonight and get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. So, I'd like to have the right relationship with my country. I think you would like to do the same. I'm going to tell you something, and my sermon, the front end of it, is going to be far longer than the back end of it. And if you'll just stay with me tonight, I want to talk to you about your relationship with America. I'm going to read another verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." When it's talking about their land, there are two applications. It could be the area in which they live, but it's probably talking about the home of the free, the land of the brave, as we would say it, in reference to a nation, an organized group of people. Now that verse gives us some instruction about revival in a nation, if you will. I want to tell you, I think it's a big deal about your relationship with your country. I love America. I love God more. But I love America. I'm going to talk about that for just a little while. The American flag, I love that flag. I have a lot of respect for that flag. Red, white, and blue. I really don't want them to tamper with it. I don't want them to change it. It reminds us of some very, very wonderful, wonderful principles and truths and sacrifices that have been made through the years. I love to hear the Pledge of Allegiance. I like to say the Pledge of Allegiance. If I had my way, I would have every school start their day with the Pledge of Allegiance. How many of you, when you were in school, started your day with the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay? And there are others that have no idea what that's all about. And we wonder why America has deteriorated. I love to hear the Star-Spangled Banner. I like to go to a ball game, and I like to hear the Star-Spangled Banner. I like to hear the Star-Spangled Banner when it's done well. I like to hear the Star-Spangled Banner when it's not done so well. You ever heard someone sing it where you're thinking, a couple more days of practice, or maybe never? But I like to hear it. You know, I was looking at, just today, I found a coin, I picked it up, and my eyes gravitated immediately to the words on that coin, "In God We Trust." I like to celebrate the 4th of July. You say why? Well, I like hot dogs and hamburgers, and I like all of that. But the 4th of July just means something more to me than a day to have a picnic. It reminds me of my country. I love things maybe makes America what America is. I love our election process. You say, after what we just went through? I know, but isn't it exciting? They don't do that in communist countries. And I realize it's got all its issues and everything, but I just like it's part of what makes America what America is. I like the baseball of America. I like the World Series, and I like the Indy 500. I'm good with that. I like the Super Bowl and the playoffs in basketball, and I like corn on the cob. And to me, it's just part of what America is. I like the events that we have here in America, and some of these events they don't have in other countries like we do. I like Christmas. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the commercialization and the fat guy in the red suit that seems to get the attention Jesus deserves, but I do like the fact that Christmas is a national holiday. You know, there are countries where it's not. There are countries where it's not. They're not interested in Christianity. I like high school graduations. I like President's Day. I like Groundhog Day. I like the fact that Groundhog Day gets some attention. That's a part of what American culture is. Memorial Day, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. That's just part of what America is. America. What people in other countries, they think about America. You know, one of the things they think about is McDonald's. And I like that part of America. I like Dairy Queen. I like barbecue, and I like four-wheel drive trucks and puppies and lightning bugs. Y'all like lightning bugs? I like lightning bugs. I like tearing them in half and just keeping the important part. We used to grab them and tear them in half, and if we wanted to put a diamond ring on our finger, we'd take the tail of about 6 lightning bugs and stick them all together, stick them on the back of our finger. I'm happy just like the lightning bug that backed into a fan. He said he was delighted. I'm happy, but I like that about America. I like the different parts of America. I love the term Southern gentleman. I like Louisiana Cajuns. I used to tease Elizabeth Croom. There's this show about alligator hunters, and there's this woman alligator hunter that's good as all the men. Her name's Lizbeth, and Lizbeth, and she's an alligator hunter. But I like the Cajuns of Louisiana and the hillbillies of Kentucky, the rednecks of West Virginia, and the starchy city slickers. That's all part of America. I like Snoopy. And so there's just so many. Charlie Brown. There's so many things that make America what it is. I take our manufacturing in America. General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, and Harley-Davidson. All of it's a part of America. That's my country. Now, I'll tell you, I love all those things. Now, I love God more. But I do love those things. There's nothing wrong with those things. Those are not sinful things. I love Pepsi. I like Hershey's chocolate. Matter of fact, I like any kind of chocolate. I like to go to Dunkin' Donuts and Krispy Kreme and Pizza Hut. And I like crunchy Jiffy peanut butter. Yeah, I like the crunchy kind. I don't know why, I just do. I love the northern part of America, the southern part of America, the eastern part of America, the western part of America, and the eastern part of America, and the eastern part of America. I like weddings in America. There's just something about them. You know, if you've looked at the cultures in other countries, they don't do it exactly like we do. I like what we do. I like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I used to like to watch it more. Now I just like to know that it's on so that I know that it happened. You know, it's not as interesting to me as what it used to be. I like the Special Olympics. You say, why? Because of some of you. I do. If you cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. I saying that I learned as a very young preacher, I'd rather be dead than read. In other words, I'd rather be dead than to be controlled by a communist country or a communist philosophy. America's my country. I respect the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. I also enjoy Gomer Pyle, Andy Griffith. That's just a part of America. I like to hear a 21-gun salute. And I've never walked away from a funeral where it was for a military man without having a knot in my stomach after hearing taps or hearing the salute or watching the flag being handed to a widow. I like that. You know, not all countries do that. I like to hear church choirs. I like to hear marching bands. I'm not real thrilled when they get all rocky, but there's some very, very good, decent music that a marching band can produce. I like it. I like Dr. Pepper. It's just part of America. I like Pringles potato chips. You say, why? Because they're all organized. I like things being organized. If you don't want your chips organized, then don't organize your chips. But I like my chips organized. I like Folgers coffee. I like Captain Crunch. I love going and visiting the Lincoln Memorial. I remember going there, getting my picture taken, and I like the fact that here in America we get to talk about our first president named George Washington, where we could tell all of our children, he said, "I will not tell a lie." I wish all the presidents hereafter could be saying the same thing, but I will not tell a lie. I love America tradition. Innocent until proven guilty beyond any shadow of a doubt. The Barnum and Bailey three-ring circus where they would say, "Let the show begin." I like to hear gentlemen start your engines. You put your hand on a Bible, which, by the way, was always a King James Bible when they said, "You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God." That's Jehovah God. I like that. That's part of my country. How many of you remember Paul Harvey's radio program, and he would say, "The rest of the story." That's a part of American culture and history to me. I got to tell you, though, America's deteriorated. I think she's a better country than any other country out there, but she's not what she used to be. I think America needs some antibiotics. She's infected and needing some doctoring. I think booze runs in our streets like water from your tap. I think drugs are taken like bubble gum from a penny bubble gum machine. Pornography is as easily accessible as pop from a pop machine today. Sodomy is being promoted as if it were a political party instead of a sinful lifestyle. Hollywood is followed today like a train engine is followed by all of its cars. Babies are being aborted like we kill dandelions on our front lawn. The Muslim religion is the fastest growing, seemingly, in our country, and it grows like mold in a basement. Religion has corrupted and corroded, like the. You ever seen an old battery terminal from an antique car, all corroded? That's almost what's happening with our countries. Our marriages and homes have become hell holes instead of heaven on earth. Music is filthy and carnal, and I think America needs a healing. I think America needs a trip to the emergency room and an old-fashioned dose of the gospel and get treated for what's wrong with America. I want to have a good relationship with my country. Well, let me tell you what we're going to have to do. If we want to treat our country right, the best thing you and I can do is to make sure our relationship with God is right. The greatest thing you could do for your country is do what you do for your God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we read it earlier. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." Notice that God mentions the healing of the land. He said that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people or any nation. You know, in that mentioning of the healing of the land, he did not say, get the boozers right with God, and that will heal the land. That's not what he said. He didn't say, get the druggies dried out, and that will fix the country. That's not what he said. He didn't say shut down all the pornography sites and that would heal the country. That's not what he said. He didn't say get the sodomites straight and that would strengthen the country, or bring a halt to the whores in Hollywood in their promiscuous ways. It's not what he said. Stop the aborting of babies and that will turn the country around. Stop the production of the bad music, or snuff out R.J. Reynolds and the cancer-producing cigarettes. Well, I think all those things would be great if we'd stop it all and fix it all. But he actually, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, gave us an outline on what would make a country great. I preached a sermon not many months ago from 2 Chronicles 7:14. Tonight I want to apply it in a little bit different way. I really don't think the sermon will be long, but I am totally convinced that if you and I want to be what we're to be to America, you and I must be what we're supposed to be to our God. And I love America, but I love God more. But you know, I could love both. But if I want to do, if I really want to do what I'm supposed to do for my country, I must do what I'm supposed to do for my God. I'm just sure of that. I know that not everybody would have gone through this, but I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was a young man, I had decided that I was pretty determined. I liked the idea of doing something hard. I just, for some reason, liked that idea. And so I'd made a commitment that I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. And I had pretty much a passion to be a Navy SEAL. But there was one problem with that. God had called me to preach. Oh, did I have turmoil over that. And I remember I talked to a couple of my buddies to sign up with me, which gave you an immediate little touch of rank if you went in on the buddy program. And I talked a couple buddies into signing up, and they went and signed up, and I was next, and I was going to go sign up, and I was in front of the recruiter station. I had my hand on the door handle, and I called my dad. I said, "Dad, I'm here. I'm doing this." And that's what my dad said. He said, "Now, son, God's called you to preach, and you will do more for your country by getting people saved than by becoming a SEAL." He said, "Now, you're going to have to make up your mind what you're going to do." Now, you won't struggle with that. I struggle with that. And so I opened the door. I got ready to step out, and the Holy Spirit of God just smote my heart. And I had to say, "Okay, Lord, I'll preach. I'll be in the Lord's army. I'll be a buck private the rest of my life, but I'll be in the Lord's army." I closed the door, got in my car, drove off, and from that day on it was settled. I was going to serve God because I felt, and I think my dad was right. I think what my dad was telling me, God has placed his hand upon you as a gospel preacher. You can fight for your country, but you will fight a spiritual warfare. You will fight to help keep your country safe. And listen, I thank God for the men that go to battle that give me the right and the privilege to do what I do in a free country. I thank God for that. But, folks, if you really want to do something great for America, there's something that you can do that's more than just flying that flag. You say, "I voted." I'm glad you did, even if you didn't like the person you voted for. And I don't think anybody was thrilled with anybody they were voting for. It's just you. I don't know that it was that you were voting for who you wanted. You were voting for who you didn't want. Or you voted so you didn't get what you didn't want. I don't know for sure why, but we did have the privilege of doing it, and thank God we get to do it. I think the day we all stop doing it, we'll lose that privilege, and we'll be sorry that we did. But if you really want to know what you can do for your country, it really doesn't come from doing something for your country. According to the scripture, it comes from doing something for your God. I'm going to quickly, and without a lot of fanfare, just remind you of what God said. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he gave a six-step process to what will exalt a nation. And if I want a good relationship with my nation, spiritually, I'm talking about not in the government's eyes, I'm talking about the God of our nation. If I want him to look at me and say, "I think he has a good connection with his nation," then I'll have to do it God's way. But I think we all ought to want to have a good relationship with our country. You will accomplish that by having the right relationship with the God of the Bible. He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he gives six points. He said, if my people, point number one, point number two, which are called by my name, point number three, shall humble themselves, point number four, and pray, point number five, seek my face, point number six, turn from their wicked ways. Then he said, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Six steps, 6 points, 6 expectations that will help our land to be healthy and healed. And I, from God's perspective, I want to have the right relationship with my nation, which means I do that through him, not without him, not beyond him, not circumventing him. If you want to do right by your nation, you do that through God. You don't even do that through the government. You do that through God, according to the scripture. So the key to fixing America up, the key to America being what she ought to be, is not found in eliminating the whorehouse that's over there in the big city. It's not. It's in a Christian's relationship with his God. Let me ask you a question. Based on your Christianity, if all Christians in our country were just like you, would God bring revival to America? Or would God say, that's why she's in the shape she's in? Wouldn't it be nice if we wanted our country to be strong and we didn't just say it, and we didn't just put our hand on our heart when we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and we didn't just stand at the Star Spangled Banner, but we knelt at the cross and we put our hands together in prayer, and we got ourselves right with God. America will not have a great revival because of the White House. There's two other houses that are going to be far more important. America will have a great revival because of the church house. And America will have a great revival because of your house. I'm going to take those six little points very quickly, and I want to talk to you about them. Your relationship with America is dependent on your relationship with your God. For instance, he starts out in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people, he's talking to saved people, born again people, Christian people, not just his creation, but those that are his creation that have accepted him as Savior and him as Jehovah God. It's not just religious here. We're talking about born again people. He starts out 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is the recipe for revival for a nation. He says, if my people, God's people, are a powerful people. God's people can be an influential people. And God wants his people to be a part of this. Remember, God is not saying if all the drunks would stop being drunk and if all the druggies would stop being high. He said, if my people, my people. Folks, I don't think they realize it. The destiny of a nation is not based on the heathen, based on God's people. God is counting on his people. If I want to have a good relationship with my country as a Christian, I need to realize that's going to come through God. So he said, number one, if my people. Number two, he said, which are called by my name. Now, the Bible says that they were called Christians first at Antioch. And that is because they were behaving like Christ. They called them the Christ-like ones. And it developed into the word Christian. And you have to understand, and this may be a little awkward for some of you that are newer Christians, just because you're saved does not mean you deserve the right to carry the title Christian. Salvation is something he did for you. Christianity is something you do for him. To be a Christian, you're to be like Christ. And so, we're to get saved indeed, become one of his people. But then, we're to behave like Jesus Christ. You say, well, in what way? We're to think the way he thinks. We're to talk the way he would talk. We're to do what he would do. We're not to do what he would not do. People ought to know that we belong to God. Salvation comes into your heart. People can't see it. God said if it's in there, it will work its way out. And he said, I want people not only to hear you say you're saved, I want people to recognize and label you as a believer in the book. I want them to hear you talk and say, I know you're a Christian. I want them to see the way you walk and see the way you act and see the way you dress. And I want it to be indicative of what Christianity has been all the way through the years. He said, if my people, the saved people, which are called by my name, when he says called by my name, it means people recognize you're like Christ. That's what Christian means, the Christ-like ones. People notice that your attitude is different and your dress and your kindness and your way of living. So, if I want to do right by my country, if I want to have a good relationship with my country, that comes through a process. That process is my relationship with God. I'm one of his people. My nation and the people around me can tell I'm one of his people. He said, thirdly, if my people, point one, which are called by my name, point two, point three, will humble themselves. Humble themselves. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Folks, you want to do something great for your country? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't let your pride get the best of you. Oh, there are some behaviors that are strongly prideful behaviors. For instance, when you don't do what the Bible says, you must think you know better than God. That's pride. Oh, and that's a dangerous thing. You know, there's sometimes we don't know what the Bible says. Sometimes you don't know what the Bible says about something. So you are scripturally simple to that truth. But folks, it's a sad, sad thing when you know what the Bible says and you choose to do what you want opposed to what the Bible wants. That's pride. And let me tell you this, you're not helping your nation when you have pride in your life, because God doesn't bless pride. But here God says, if you want your nation to be right, you need to be saved. You need to act like you're saved, and you need to get a humility about you so I can bless your nation. Not only do I think pride in our decision making, where we go against the Bible, hurts our relationship with God, therefore hurts our nation, I think also the lack of prayer in our life. I've always believed that truly humble people are praying people. Let me tell you something. You let life, you let things just knock the stuffings out of you. You'll find yourself crawling to God in the most, the deepest of humility. Did you know that's the absence of pride? You let life just knock the pride out of you, and then suddenly you go to God and say, oh God, I don't deserve to have your help, and I've made a mess of things, and oh, this is just terrible. And God say, you know, you were a mess before you made a mess of things. If you would have had that humility prior to the discipline or the act or the disobedience, if you would have had the humility before, you probably wouldn't have had to go through the learning process. But if you really want to help your nation as a Christian, you ought to act and look like a Christian, but humble yourself. Need God. Don't make your decisions based on what you want to do or what the popular thing is. Make your decision based on the Bible. That takes pride out of it. And make sure you're a praying person. When you and I do what we do without prayer, it's an act of pride. So you all know we need God. You say, well, I already know how to do what I'm going to do. But you still need God, even though you already know how to do it. You say, why? Well, you're going to need his air. You'll have to be breathing somebody's air while you're doing it, and you'll have to be walking on somebody's earth. You have to be eating somebody's food. I guess we better just stay humble at everything that we do, because without him, we are nothing. And if America would begin again to realize that they need to be saved, they need to act like the Bible tells us to act, and if America would humble themselves and be dependent on God again, we'd do our nation a great favor. You say, well, I've got red, white, and blue lights, you know, like Christmas lights, and I put them in my pine tree because I'm a good American. Well, you go ahead and put your red, white, and blue lights out, but you'd be better off getting the Budweiser out of your refrigerator if you want to get things right with God. Then it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, God wants us again to pray. I was never in the public school when they started the public school with prayer. But you go back far enough, they used to start the public school system. They'd start with prayer. But I was in school when you could still pray in a class. One of the most devastating moments in American history is when they took prayer and Bible out of our schools. And we've been paying for it ever since. If you want to do something for your country, you need to learn to pray. You ought to pray and depend on God. Pray for your country. The real you is not the public you. The real you is the praying you. You say, well, there's not much of that. Call it what you want. But the real you is not the public you. The real you is the praying you. We need a revival in America of prayer. We need it. We need it desperately. And so he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And look, there's only just a couple more points. So we're getting close. Hang in there. He says, and seek my face. What does it mean to seek his face? It means that you want God's will in regard to everything. You just don't want what God commands you to do. You also want God's preference for you. Now, some people have the most difficult time just doing what God demands. Look, if all you do is what God demands, that's just the minimum, isn't it? You shouldn't do just what God demands. You ought to go to God and say, God, I want what you demand. But God, I want what you prefer. Giving God his preferences in life shows depth of your relationship with God. Mrs. Owens likes a certain kind of creamer for her coffee. They sell, is it Coffee Mate, hon, that makes the coconut? They have a coffee creamer that's coconut flavored. It's made by Coffee Mate. And I know when she wants that creamer, she wants coconut creamer. We go on vacation. I'll get up the day we're there, and I'll go to 8 stores if I have to, and see if I could find that creamer for her. Without her asking why, I know that's what she would prefer. Do you know that you're very concerned about your preferences? Extremely. Matter of fact, most of us put our preferences before we put God's preferences. Well, you can throw a fit if you don't get your preference. You go to the restaurant and you want it a certain way and they didn't give it to you and you feel like I paid for this meal. And there are no convictions about how your steak's supposed to be fixed. It's your preference. You make them take it back and you demand that it's going to be right. I wonder how many preferences we attend to for ourselves. Let me tell you how you can step up in your Christianity in a big way. Don't just give God what he demands. Give God what he prefers. People say to me, well, where's that in the Bible? I might not be able to take you to a specific verse that dogmatically states it, but the principles and the precepts of it are all over the Bible. Boy, people will fight you. Where's God demand that? Okay, wonder if he doesn't demand it. Wonder if he just wants to see if you love him enough to give him what he might even just hint at. Would you give God what he hints at? Let me ask you this. Do you want your children to only do what you dogmatically, emphatically, boldly demand? Or would you like for them to catch on and do it without having to be told and say, you know what, Dad? I thought you would first of all expect this, but I've got some more for you, and I did even more. The day your kids are doing what they're commanded without being told, but they're doing more than they're commanded, you say, you matured. You figured it out. Well, guess what? God's waiting for you to mature, Christian. He don't have to come to you. You know what? If Christians would have that attitude, it'd make the preacher's job easier. Preacher's got to get up and throw a fit about what God demands, and then he gets in all sorts of trouble if he dares to even refer to God's preferences. Because we all, you got to show me a Bible verse that demands that. Well, I just tell you, I think there are things that God prefers that we ought to just desire to give him because we love him, because we've matured to the point where it's just not just the demand, but it is a loving desire. That's what seek my face could be interpreted as. So let's go on. Then he says finally, and turn from their wicked ways. Now, remember we started out and I told you, nowhere in 2 Chronicles 7:14 does he tell that the prostitutes need to be put out of business and that will bring revival, though I think that would help. He was shutting the liquor store down. He doesn't put that as a prerequisite for the land being healed. Now he says, turn from their wicked ways. To who is he referring? The people which are called by his name. He's worried about the Christians living in sin. In other words, his people participating in the wickedness of the land. Folks, we're stuck here on this globe. We're to live with them, but not like them. We're supposed to be different. We're to be a peculiar people. God calls them wicked ways. There's a song, Cleanse Me, O God. And in it, in the chorus, I think, it says, see if there be any wicked way in me. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Hey, do you have sinful habits? Do you have things in your life that ought to be taken out? If you would like to have a good relationship with your country, you get that by way of a good relationship with your God. You get things right with God, you are doing your country a favor. Then, what's the result? According to this verse, it says, God said, if you'll do these things, he said, if Christians would look like, act like, smell like, talk like Christians, and humble themselves, and pray, and seek not only what I command, but what I prefer, and turn from their wicked ways and get the sin out of life, he said, then will I hear from heaven. Do you understand the song? God bless America. Do you hear a request? It's not God blessed, ED, past tense America. It's God bless. It's a prayer. Well, America, if you want God to hear the prayer, you gotta hit the prerequisites. The whole country sings it. God bless America. Land that I love. Let me tell you, America, love God most. God will bless America, land that you love. And then he says, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins. All you got to do is admit to your sin. It's all cared for. It's under the blood. Now, but he wants to forgive us of our sins. And then he said in the end, I will heal your lands. So, if you and I love America, and I think we do, we can have a right relationship with America from God's perspective by having a right relationship with God. There's nothing wrong. Let me tell you this. There's nothing wrong about you putting your hand on your heart for that flag or standing in its presence as long as your heart is right with your God. But you know, I wonder about people that love America more than they love God. That could turn into idol worship. We are not to worship our country, we're to worship our God. And the way to do a favor for our country is to do right by God. We thereby are doing right by our country. We then, in God's perspective, have a good relationship with our country. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think we have some true patriots in here. I think we have some people that really love America. Oh, keep serving God. Hey, and let me tell you something. I think we ought to vote. I think we ought to pay our taxes. I think we ought to obey the laws of the land as long as they don't go against the laws of God. And very few of them actually do, but I think we ought to do right by our country. But I'll tell you something, the Bible teaches doing right by our country more than man teaches it. Who here would say, Pastor, I I learned something tonight. I want to be loyal to my country, but I see that that is best accomplished by my loyalty to the Bible and by my loyalty to the God of the Bible. And God has spoken to my heart about that. Would you raise your hand and just let God see it? Remember, watch how you live your life. You might be hurting your country by the way you live your life. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play. In a moment, we're going to stand. If you need a moment at the altar, I wish you'd come. There's somebody, you know, if you love your country, it might be good you came down here for a moment and got on your knees and just said, Lord, help me. I want to contribute to the strength of America. Hey, you say, oh, I don't care about my life and how it turns out. Why don't you care about everybody else that lives in your country then? Live right because it's best for everybody else. Because that's what this Bible teaches. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? You're welcome to come. Doing right by your country is best achieved by doing right by the principles of the Bible, the truth of the Bible. And I have not tried for one moment to minimize this country that God has given us. Matter of fact, tonight I've tried to maximize what it is. One nation under God. One nation under God. And that's not the God of your choice. When that was written, it was written about Jehovah God, the God of the Bible. And the Bible that they used all the way back when they founded it was the Bible that we use in our church. It's not one of the newfangled Reader's Digest perversions. All the things that we love about America. Is it Mountain Dew or French fries or IHOP pancakes? It's all great. But we want to keep our nation what it is. We better let God be what He's supposed to be in our lives and in our churches. One more time through the song and we'll be done. Ushers, if you'll prepare the prayer bulletin.